This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard Show, final score from Everbank Field, 24-14, Falcons over the Jaguars. Welcome in, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Preseason is over.
Yeah, it is. Tony Boselli just walked in the studio and walked out with Fred Taylor. Jaguar fans would be fainting right now. They were walking down the hallway right now.
Yeah, two of the three pride guys.
Two of the three pride guys.
Obviously tonight Bortles has the touchdown to Lee.
That'll be the fourth pride guy.
Which one?
I'm going to go with Bortles, and they're going to go in together. They're going to play 15 years together, and they'll both walk into the pride.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
Bortles had the touchdown tonight, of course, early. Todman had some good work late in this game tonight. A Sanders returned with a couple of nice punt returns tonight, too. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to your calls coming up. But for you, what's the biggest storyline tonight?
The biggest storyline continues to be Blake Bortles. I mean, because he came in and he put on, you know, in the brief time he was out there, a pretty good show, got some real pressure, I thought, for the first time. I mean, real get knocked around kind of pressure. Stood tall after the first sack, delivered a strike, didn't get the completion, didn't get down, hung in there, again read the field, and came back to at least his second, if not his third, read on the Marquise Lee touchdown. So he was the story of the preseason. Let's not kid ourselves. Number three overall pick, and he did nothing to make you fear that he wasn't worth that pick in the preseason.
Right.
That was the big thing. But, JP, the key was let's not get any key injuries. And, look, Rashad Reynolds, that's a tough break for him. No pun intended. He breaks the hand. But, you know, you're talking about a guy, as Gus Bradley described, they're trying to make him the backup nickel, okay? That's much better than, say, losing Chris Clemens for a month or something like that. So they played it smart. They didn't play a lot of the veterans that are a little bit older or they felt like they'd seen enough from. And, you know, guys like Henny, Puzlesny, Mercedes Lewis, Clemens, guys like that. And, you know, get those guys ready, get some other guys some reps. We saw good competition out there. But, you know, the story tonight and the story has been throughout the quarterback play.
It's number one, every question, every postgame.
It's understandable. It's got to be. You know, and it's got to be. And hopefully, you know, we'll look back at this as a preseason that launched a career of the eventual face of the franchise. But also, we hope that next week is the first game that launches a tremendous season for Chad Henne. Nothing that says he can't go out there and have the best season of his career. They feel in the offense for another year with Jed Fish. The weapons clearly upgraded around him. You know, we just talked about a few minutes ago on the postgame show getting Allen Robinson back. It's going to be like, adding a guy who may end up being your best receiver in time, and you haven't had him in the mix. Cecil stayed healthy. He got some work tonight. Marquise Lee made the big play. We've seen a lot from Allen Hurns as well. So the receivers, isn't it interesting? You look back over the short recent history, receivers, D-line been two of the biggest issues. I think they're two of the strongest units right now in this football team.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, at JP Shadrick on Twitter. And for four weeks, I don't know yours.
At MD underscore 1010X. I'm going to tattoo it right across my forehead for you.
That'd be
right
there.
My wife would appreciate that. But here's the thing tonight, too. Talk about tonight's game. But the preseason's in the books now. Look at the preseason as a whole.
Yes.
If you want to talk about the quarterback decision, it's been made, but that's fine. It's certainly a point of interest and will continue to be for Jaguar fans. But what are you excited about? What are you concerned about? I mean, we've got our concerns, I think. We saw Todman running decently, but still under 4 yards a carry. I think this run offense, the run blocking, while you didn't see the first team out there tonight, but throughout the preseason has left something to be desired.
Sure, and certainly last week when Gerhardt is hit at the line and then has to carry the pile 5, 6, 7 yards, which he can do, but you'd rather him not do that all the time.
Well, he did that on several occasions last week, and he still ended up averaging 3.2 yards right on the ground. So,
but if the blocking's a little better, maybe he doesn't have to carry
absolutely
that pile.
Absolutely. And if he does, and the blocking's better, maybe he's carrying the pile starting at 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, and, you know, all of a sudden a 5-yard run turns into a 12-yard run instead of getting hit in the backfield and still grinding out 3 or 4 yards.
It takes time for an offensive line to work together. And like we've said throughout most of this preseason, it's a line that hasn't worked together. Jokel's played 12 snaps at left tackle in real games. Beatles has not been here. He's you know, certainly here for the preseason, but it's his first year with the Jags. But Wanko could be the starting center. He's a rookie. Lender's a rookie. Pastor's out on the right side. You got Bradfield. It's guys that haven't had a lot of work together, and as we always reference to with Vaselli saying it, you know, there's just not a lot of time like it used to be. You could have 14 practices in a week, and that's great for an offensive line trying to learn the zone scheme because it takes time to do that. Now you have 14 padded practices the whole camp. A little different.
Oh, big difference. Absolutely. I mean, to get, you know, we talk about the tackling. It impacts the tackling. It impacts the running game, the blocking schemes, the flow of getting all those folks together. All right, the number, again, as you said, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 outside the 904 area. Dial 1-800-355-NFL1. We'll start by going out to Sandalwood first up here on the Scoreboard Show. Kevin joins us. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
I'm fine. I like your show. And just to let you guys know, they look great. Much better than last year. Better offense, better defense. Bortles and then the rest of the guys are going to be the man. They're going to look good this year.
All right. There's some positivity coming out.
It's just
out
of the easy eye test. You know, do they look faster? Do they look just overall better? I think that's a fair answer. Yeah, sure.
It may not be a dramatic increase in one loss record, but I think it's the week in, week out competitiveness. And I think the reason we feel that way is that defense. That you feel like this, no, that defense, if they're healthy, is not going to let teams run roughshod over them very many weeks. And if that's the case, you stay in, make a few big plays on offense, play smart field position, don't turn the football over. That's kind of the formula for this young team. You may surprise in the win-loss column when it's all said and done. Let's go to Jim up next, leaving the game, driving to St. Augustine on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jim, how are you?
Doing pretty good, guys. A couple quick things. One, what I liked, you know, simply, yeah, I'm a first-time season ticket holder, and I was definitely inspired from the business side of things to buy in this year. I think they've done a phenomenal job in terms of the game day experience, and you know, it's very clear. I think talking to a lot of friends that Shad Khan gets it. He certainly marketing to a younger crowd, I think, this year, and really capitalizing on that younger generation that grew up with the Jags during the early years, myself being one of them at 36. And secondly, in terms of play on the field, what do you do with Mike Brown and Ace Sanders? Pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I think, you know, JP, obviously with Ace Sanders, you defer that decision. But right now, I find it hard to believe when Week 5 rolls around, unless you have a really fast recovery by Tannen Doss, that Ace Sanders doesn't come back immediately as your punt returner.
Well, the feeling I get was that if everybody's healthy, yeah, you keep 5 receivers. And then when Ace comes back, you might be to the point where you just keep 6. You know, there's no need if everybody's playing well at that point, then you might have that decision to make. But that's on down the road a little bit. I think right now, I mean, Mike Brown's the guy. He had a nice game tonight. He can do a few different things for you. He knows the system. He's been around the room for a while. He's not going to flash any, you know, he's not going to have a huge, you know, he's not going to outrun guys, have huge splash plays all the time, but a good solid guy to have around. And I don't know if it's by default or not with Doss hurt, but why not?
I mean, look, I think
he can do some things for
him. That's going to be, when we get full word on the extent of Doss's injury, I mean, because there's a lot of speculation in the Jaguar media that he could go on IR with this, or at least IR with the designation to return at some point in the season. And if that's the case, again, 3 rookies, one of which has not played in the preseason, in Allen Robinson, and then Cecil Shorts, who is healthy now but has had problems staying healthy. I think having that fifth guy who's kind of just that steady vet is where Mike Brown's going to fit in.
Back to the first part of that phone call, the reason to buy the season tickets. Yeah, he's a football fan, it sounded like, but all the stuff inside the stadium and around the organization seems to be working too, and I think that's notable.
It works. It's certainly, look, it's a different generation. It's so funny listening to Fred Taylor say, you know, when I played. yeah, this is what we did, and this is how grueling it was. But honestly, I'm sure there are a lot of fans that have been fans of the NFL that predate the Jags being here in Jacksonville that think, why do you need that? You're here for the game. And that's great. If you want to come for that, come for that. But it's a new reality. Shad Khan's a savvy guy, and he doesn't have a problem marketing to, you know, younger sensibilities. People want to keep up with their fantasy football. They want to be entertained in between snaps and all that stuff. So, as they've said many times, product on the field needs to now catch up with the product off the field. And they realize that, but all the off-the-field stuff doesn't hurt.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-635. Well, let's get one more in before the break here.
Let's do it. Let's go to Travis on the north side, next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to know how y'all felt about that line. I like everything they're doing, but I'm kind of skeptical about that center part of that offensive line. I wanted to know how you guys felt about that.
I think everybody has been, you know, skeptical. It's magnified more after 11 years straight at center with Brad Meester and 13 years on this team, but the last 11 at center, you hadn't had to worry about it for a generation, really. Well, now you come in and you got issues with Mike Brewster that are magnified by the bad snaps earlier in the preseason, and you're like, uh-oh, this is real trouble. Jack McClendon, each guy has certain things they do well, and Gus Bradley said that this week. We highlighted it on the pregame show, but they kind of feel like they have a guy for the future now, and I think it's Bowanko. It's going to be the guy they think can develop. He's got a higher ceiling than the other guys. He may not have all the tools yet, but I think his preseason, at least the last couple of weeks, have really elevated him, and he's going to be the guy, probably.
The question is, and I agree with you, he will be the guy. Is he the best of not a lot of great options right now? Because when you draft him in the sixth round, I doubt they envisioned him being your opening day center. That's not a knock on Luke Bowanko. Yeah. He is played himself into that position, but look, clearly, if they were confident in Mike Brewster, you don't go out and try to sign Alex Mack to the biggest center contract in league history.
They knew it was going to be an issue, and that's why you go aggressively.
And then they hoped, all right, we took our shot, we missed out on him, and you look at Mike Brewster, he put a lot of time in the weight room. That was the area he needed to get stronger, be able to handle that physical play in the interior of the line. And, you know, look, it hasn't been a good series of preseason games for him. The snaps haven't been there. He's gotten blown up in the protection game a few times. So looks like Bowanko's your guy to start the year. Is it perfect? Absolutely not.
No, and I think it's far from perfect, actually, but it's going to be what it's going to be.
Absolutely. And you said, the hope is he's a young guy. His ceiling's higher than some of these other guys that have been around for a little while. And whatever you see this year is going to be the worst of Luke Bowanko that you'll ever see. Hopefully that experience makes him a better player.
You know what? Gus Bradley might come out in a press conference this week and blow us all away with something else.
Who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe they'll pick some. You never know. They may pick somebody up who gets cut from some other team.
We'll find out. Come protect the bank September 21st. The Jags and the Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here for the home opener, the best game day experience in the National Football League and the world's largest video boards. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll have more of your calls when we return. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. The Jags fall in the final preseason game. 24-14 the final. Falcons get the win over the Jags tonight. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show continues. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville.
All right, let's get back to it. 355-NFL1, Jags falling, but who cares? They're 0-0. The record is clear. You know, the 24-14 doesn't matter now. We turn the page.
All right. I can just stop saying it tonight if you want.
No, you say the score. Okay. I'm just saying I don't think anybody's
because we got another 30 minutes. I can just stop saying it.
I think preseason's my point over. Being, J.P. Shattuck, is that look, nobody really cares about the record because I think instead of – you may have gone 1-3 in recent years, and the feeling was, same old Jags. Nothing new, nothing different about this offense. I think even for the people that are dissatisfied with the fact that Blake Bortles will not start the season at quarterback, they look around, they say, new toy here, new toy there. Yeah. Something to hang your hat on.
I like that.
Let's go to Saqib next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib, how are you?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, man, I love listening to you guys after the games, man.
We love really, you calling us.
Yeah, man. Hey, let me ask you guys a couple quick questions, okay? I would like to get this because I've been trying to figure out all day with a couple of people at work. Okay, what's the most surprising cut the Jaguars might make on Saturday, or somebody they will add that will just be like, wow, that guy can help us right away? And do you see any wide receivers that are right now getting cut, like Hearns, or I want him to stay here, but Mike Brown, what do you guys think, and defensive linemen too? What guys surprised you is going to get cut this week?
Well, let's start with receivers. I mean, Kerry Taylor is a guy who has a couple years in the league, and because of the numbers, might be right on that borderline. You know, this Doss injury kind of throws that up in the air a little bit. You think about this. Let's go receivers. Cecil, Marquise Lee.
Sure.
Allen Robinson. Allen Hearns.
Yeah.
And Mike Brown, right?
By the way, the first four are mortal locks
to make this roster. So it's the fifth guy. And the question really coming in was it Brown or was it Tannen Doss?
Or
right?
What, would you keep five or six as well? Right. And I think with so many other iffy spots, do you need to keep an extra swing tackle?
Right. So that's why I think it was going to be five, because you need the offensive line, you got to have something there. So I thought it was going to be five going in. It might still be the case depending on how those injuries go. With pass throughout the first couple of weeks, it might be five.
Yeah, the status of Tannen Doss is going to say a lot, I think, about that extra spot. And look, who are getting cut? Well, wait, nobody that's gotten cut yet, because first of all, you could have claimed those guys on waivers if you wanted a shot at those guys. But we got to sit back and wait like every other team in the National Football League and see, hey, wow, 18 guys getting cut. A lot of them signed immediately to practice squads around the National Football League. But now's the time you're going to do your shopping, if you're going to do it at all, between now and say Saturday, when cuts are due by Sunday, Monday, that's when the guys that are going to get scooped up by other teams are going to find new homes.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Jags have the third pick of the waivers, right? Are they third in the list?
I think you're right.
I believe they are.
Yeah,
so they'll have a pretty good pick of the litter.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, at least a good crack at those guys right there. So, you know, we'll see. You look at the tight end position, I think, is one that we considered, okay? Barden, first half, misses a block, helps get Blake Bortles clobbered, drops a pass on the next effort, and then I believe left the game with some kind of nagging injury at some point as well.
And with him, I'd be more concerned about the blocking, because Marcel Jensen, we haven't seen him block much yet. He can catch.
No.
You can see that.
And when Clay Harbor's healthy, you feel like you've got Mercedes Lewis, and Clay Harbor is that classic quote-unquote move tight end. They're going to move him around the formation. That's his primary job, is just being a receiver. So you might look for a guy, but if you're basing it on tonight's game, I mean, Marcel Jensen, much more effective game, I think they've got questions about him. I think he's got a guy, he's a guy that's kind of got practice squad written on him, because I think he needs to develop physically to handle those other aspects of the game other than receiving. So still may be a position they're mining.
Good hands. Had a one-handed catch tonight.
Very
Jensen,
good.
And he did the same. He didn't have a lot of looks out at Fresno, just because it was a different kind of offense. He didn't get involved a lot. When he did, he was pretty reliable.
355 NFL1 Michael is in Mandarin, and he's on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. What's up?
Well, I just had a quick question. I actually work on the video board crew for PRI.
All right.
And I was up there underneath the North End Zone video board tonight. One question I had is that music they were playing up there in the North End Zone, you know, for the level 5 people in the Cleveland Air Deck. That seemed like it was really loud. Do you think that's any type of distraction to the players down on the field?
That's a great question. Well, you're referencing the Clevelander in South Beach and at Marlins Stadium down in Miami. They've kind of taken over the entertainment portion up there on the North End Zone deck.
It was entertaining.
From what I understand, it was very entertaining. I didn't get the full view of what was going on up there, but from what I understand, it was quite an experience.
More of a visual experience for me, because being in the press box with Fat Tony, you can't really hear the full effect of what it sounds like in the stadium. So I don't know how distracting the sound may have been.
Yeah, well, other things maybe. But the sound was, you know, they're so high up that you think the sound from the DJ up there, whatever's going on, is too high for the field. I don't know.
Hey, this team practices with the music blaring at ear-bleeding decibels. Are you kidding me?
That's
true. Some of those days out there on the sideline, you're like, can they – Are they really damaging their ears right now? So they may be used to it. They may play better and be more acclimated when there's a little bass thumping in the background.
I actually know the words to a lot of music I did not think I would know.
Yeah.
After going to practice every day.
I don't know who is picking out the playlist, but it's definitely eclectic. Let's leave it at that. Thank you, Michael. Let's go out to the beaches. Andrew next up on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, great, great. I'm a big proponent of Bortles, but I do support the coaches. I really think that they're sticking to their word. I think that Henny's going to be given the leash, and, you know, if it yanks, then Bortles will come in probably around Cleveland. But who knows? I'm excited. I've not been excited since we lost to Tennessee, three times? Hey, it's going to be a great year. I trust the leadership that's out there, and go Jaguars.
Woo! Right. Woo-hoo! He's Thank there you. Again.
That's a guy who's excited following a 1-3 preseason, right, where for the most part it's a pretty lackluster game tonight, you know, but they've given you enough reasons to be excited, and ultimately, JP, you hope it doesn't go this way. Let's say they do start really bad, and they got to make that switch at some point at the quarterback position. Well, you're not going to be excited about what the record is that causes that.
Right.
But for the rest of the way, this season is going to be one that's, I think, going to be electric for fans to see the new guy, if, in fact, it ever gets to that point.
You know what? Selfishly, Mike, no matter what happens, it's going to be awesome for the Scoreboard Show because there's always going to be people talking about the quarterbacks.
And
right?
That's really, I think, from Shad Khan's most important priority. It's what works best for you and I.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's get real.
In hour two of the postgame. I'm with you, brother.
Let's get real here. When we return, more of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We're on Twitter as well, at MD_1010XL.
Yes!
At JP Shadrick. We'll go over some actual scores tonight, too, when we come back. Plenty to get to. The Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Scoreboard Show continues. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. I know you were not a final score guy, but the final score tonight was 24-14.
I
the Atlanta
like the
Falcons
final score.
Beat the
Jaguars.
Tonight.
I don't care that they went 1-3 in the preseason.
In a record and a score that doesn't matter because it's zero. It's no record right now.
No record. But JP, if you are a guy who wants to hone in on the preseason standings, the good news is it looks like the Jags will lose no ground in the AFC South tonight. Okay,
that's good news
because Indy took a walloping from the Cincinnati Bengals, 35-7. Houston on the short end of a 33-13 score to San Francisco, and apparently Tennessee's reserves not as good as the Vikings' reserves tonight, 19-3 with a minute to play in that one.
Well, one other notable score right now, late first quarter, Raiders 14, Seahawks 7. Russell Wilson getting some time tonight, and how about Derek Carr for the Raiders tonight, 6 of 8, 77 yards, and a touchdown through the air.
If there's a rookie that will start on opening day, Derek Carr still has a chance to sneak in the back door there. They sat Matt Schaub tonight. He has been brutal in the preseason. Derek Carr has thrown 2 touchdowns in a 15-second span after a quick turnover against most of Seattle's first-team defense. That team needs a spark. Schaub can't drive the ball down the field anymore. I think Derek Carr may be your now leader in the clubhouse if a rookie is going to start on opening day at quarterback.
It wasn't Carr at the Senior Bowl with the Jags staff?
Yes, he was.
I believe he was, yes. So good news for him. Yeah, 2 touchdowns now for Carr. 7 of 9, 97 yards. It's now 20-7 Raiders over the Seahawks. This Jaguars defense. The last week, a couple of big gainers against them on the ground, some gap issues. Where do you see that? Is that cured now, or is that something that is going to be ongoing?
I don't know if that's cured because it can pop up on any play. You could have had a perfect game last week, and if you missed the fit like Jonathan Cyprian did, and as it was described to us early this week by Jeff Logman, really that was a situation where Red Bryant didn't quite get to the gap that he typically gets to on the play, and Cyprian was trying to cover for him. When you hear Gus Bradley say, do your job, that's what he's talking about. Do your responsibility. Do your assignment. There's that tendency to want to cover for your teammates if you see something amiss out in front. But I think this team is going to be very consistent stopping the run. You saw a couple of big plays. You saw particularly the one big play with Reggie Bush. Look, And Frank Franchi mentioned this on the pregame about Joik Bell with a couple of nice runs. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to run the ball, and occasionally they're going to hit some plays. I mean, that's the National Football League. I thought overall they've done a very good job when the ones have been on the field. And keep this in mind, too.
Okay.
We've talked a lot about the suspensions early in the season benefiting the Jags, okay? We know Robert Mathis is out week three for Indy. We know Brandon Merriweather, two-game suspension, will be out week two for Washington. Lane Johnson's a starting right tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, going to serve a four-game suspension to start the season. Red Bryant is going to be lining up over ground beef. That's what it's going to look like to him. And that, I think, is an advantage and a matchup we'll talk a lot about over the next 10 days. If Red Bryant can really collapse that side and force them to bring more attention to him, maybe that keeps one less guy out of the pattern. Maybe a tight end's got a chip, something like that. LeSean McCoy is going to be tough to wrangle. If Red Bryant can eat up a couple of those guys up front, it's going to make it a little bit easier for those linebackers to flow to the ball.
And that, and how can this Jaguars defense keep up with the Philly offense? If they get a rhythm going, if they get that fast-paced attack going, can Red Bryant, a guy like that, kind of stay in? That's where you get the rotation.
That's why you got 10 deep, right? And you feel pretty good about your 10 deep, I think. And that's, I think, what we'll see ultimately on the final tally for Jags defensive linemen. As Fred Taylor pointed out, they practice tempo. I think Philly's tempo, when they're peaking, is faster than anything in the league.
But remember, early last year, the Jaguars' offense was a close second in the league in terms of plays per game. It faded at the end. The Jags' offense had some issues at the end last season. But, yeah, I mean, there's something to that.
If there's a chance to be acclimated to what you're going to see, I think they've had the best chance. They've done it in the heat. It's not going to be as hot as they've worked when you go up to Philadelphia, so hopefully the stamina is going to be good. Therefore, the defense, you're going to be as fresh as you are in any point in the season. I think you're going to need it in that football game. Look, I'm not going to go in and concede anything right now. I'm not saying the Jags are going 16-0, but as it stands going into Philadelphia, I think they got a puncher's chance if that defense comes to play.
So you're not calling 16-0.
I'm not calling 16-0.
You already called Bortles and Lee in the Ring of Honor.
Oh, no question. Next two in the pride of the Jags if
going in together.
The shot has any sense. Absolutely. Put them in now to save the time. They're going in together. Yeah. No, I did call that. I may have jumped the gun a little bit.
Phone lines.
Still a few to take care of.
Are open 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. When we come back, field goals for Firehouse. Are we going hungry tonight? We'll find out in a moment. Phone lines are open. Get your calls in now. Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score is inconclusive tonight in the final preseason game. Falcons-Jaguars.
Not going to let it go.
Shedrick, Mike Dempsey.
No, it's conclusive the Falcons won the fourth preseason game. It's also conclusive that nobody cares at the end of the day that the Jags went 1-3 in the preseason. The quality record, of play, not the record.
The record is out the window.
Here we go.
Jags go to Philly next week. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, tonight, we're going hungry. The kicking tonight, Redfern missed a field goal tonight. If it was punting for subs, then he would have had a good night.
Outstanding night
averaged
punting.
Averaged 48.5 yards per punt. He had both duties tonight. Scobie was out, should be back next week. Anger was out of the punting duties tonight, was holding. He should we'll see. We didn't hear about Anger, but he had a little something tonight too. So Redfern had the night tonight, but no 40-plus yard field goals tonight.
Just build up your appetite, I guess, and get ready for the regular season. I think Scobie, as long as he's fine, and long, if the quad's behind him, he's going to have plenty of opportunities and plenty of makes from 40-plus yards. And I honestly, as good as we've seen Derek Marks be, and he earned that contract with his play last year, he started the preseason like he was the NFL defensive MVP, or he was going to play that level. Missing Scobie early in the season, I think, might have been bigger for the Jags, because I think they've got the depth for a game or two to overcome something on the defensive line.
I feel you with that. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? I mean, because this team, if this team's not going to be putting up 28 points a week, but if the defense is playing well and they put themselves and they drive down and every time they get in field goal position, you got to feel like you've got to at least get points out of the board. Now, hopefully you drive down and punch those in the end zone, but I think Scobie's a key player here for this football team, and it's a good thing he's going to be back.
Well, yeah, he's a key player. He's the kicker. That's
here
what
we
happens.
Go. Here score, we go.
Of course. 355-NFL-1-355-6351. Phone lines are open. Let's, Toby Gerhardt didn't play tonight. We've talked running backs throughout the evening. Denard Robinson going in, we kind of felt like, okay, he's starting this game. He might have the lead in the backup, air quotes, running back situation. No, I don't know if there's a true backup running back on this team because every guy does different things.
Well, right. If you were to lose Toby Gerhardt for a couple weeks, would it just be a case of maybe Todman gets a little bit more work on first and second down because, you know, he's a sturdier veteran type? I mean, compared to Denard Robinson, certainly. And we don't know where Storm Johnson's going to fit in this mix. I think he's slid down the depth chart as the preseason's gone along, and the reports are an ankle injury. We'll see what that does for his early season availability. But I don't think there's a clear-cut guy. I think Fred Taylor's right. They like to get the ball in Denard Robinson's hands in a variety of ways. Yeah. But I'd like to, you know, have Fred take a look at that film and really see if he can decipher whether all those runs were meant to be popped outside, because it seems like Denard ends up popping it outside the tackles a lot. Look, a lot of the greats have done that over the years. Fred Taylor did that a bunch himself. But sometimes if you're going to be a starter in the NFL, you got to stick your nose up there sometimes and get the 3 yards that it's blocked for.
And I think for Denard, I mean, he's added, what, 15 pounds of muscle. He's trying to learn how to run with that extra 15 pounds and put pads down and get that in there. It takes a little time to learn how to do that if you haven't been that big and had to run like that before.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess.
You know, so, I mean, look, he's a phenomenal athlete. The question is, can he become a phenomenal running back in the National Football League? They're giving him every opportunity, but they're still, again, we see him on kickoff return tonight. We saw him on coverage teams a lot tonight, so they're looking for different ways to utilize it.
You know
speed.
What, though? That has changed in the last week or two. He wasn't on kickoff returns or punt returns or anything early in this camp, remember?
Sure.
He was just doing coverage and running back. And they're starting to expand that again. I think he's winning some trust a little bit back to see what he can do, because we were starting to mention it earlier tonight that, you know, when he first came here, they were trying him at 4 or 5 different things, and it might have been a little much with the nerve issue. There was a lot going on with him. They had to narrow that down and let him focus on one thing. Now you may be able to expand that a little
bit. And it may be a case, you're right, where he just, look, I focused on running back. I pretty much know what my assignments are. I know the plays. I know those responsibilities that I have. But still, they may look up and say, all right, how are we going to get him X amount of touches with the ball in his hands in these games? And if you could get him on a couple of kickoff returns, I mean, this guy is dangerous in the open field. Doesn't matter, you know, what style of play it is. If he can make a couple of guys miss, you know, you get a couple of 50-yard returns, play field position, maybe take a couple to the house, they would gladly take that out of Denard X.
Let's get to defense. Just, you know, a lot of people talk about the defensive line. Obviously, it's very deep. They're probably going to keep 10 up there. Defensive backs, the starters are pretty much set. You got a little depth there now. There's something brought in the back end of the defense. Well, now the linebackers all of a sudden are a little deeper than first expected. Dakota Watson is back. He was with the second team unit tonight, trying to work his way back up from the sports hernia surgery. Well, Leroy Reynolds had a nice game tonight again, who's been playing that auto spot. Dakota Watson had a sack against two guys, cut inside and made a nice play. Where does that stand right now?
Well, I think you've, at the least, you've got the versatility that if you want to bring Dakota Watson in, maybe in some sub packages, more of the pass rushing responsibility downs for the auto position, you can have that luxury because Reynolds has played so solidly. And then if you were to have an injury in the linebacking core, I mean, Reynolds has got the versatility. He can play just about anywhere. So I think you've got four guys. And Telvin Smith, really quiet game for him tonight. I don't even know if we saw him out there tonight. I didn't notice him out there
either.
Tonight.
No, it was maybe the first time we didn't really notice him.
And, you know, to me, he's a guy who's flashed all throughout the summer, playmaking ability, making big plays in practice, making plays in the game, unlimited reps. So you're going to see him in sub-packages as your nickel weak side linebacker. I think JT Thomas clearly getting the start today. You saw Stupar miss another tackle in the open field that he's got to make. I think, you know, it depends on what the numbers are there, but I think if it's a JT Thomas, Nathan Stupar battle, I think Thomas wins that.
Telvin Smith credited with 2 tackles tonight.
Just nothing flashy, yeah. And maybe that's where you just come to, you know, you notice 50 when he's doing something that kind of eye-popping.
And he's had a couple of real eye-popping plays in this preseason. The the pressure on the quarterback that caused the interception for Guy for the touchdown, and then the batted ball for the interception. So he's been on some splash plays. So it's not going to happen every single week. Can't expect that, especially from a rookie.
But you've seen that, and really this entire rookie class, with the exception of Colvin, who we haven't seen on the field yet, they've all done good things at different times. Telvin Smith, no exception to that.
We'll come back in a moment. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Last chance for your calls. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll close out the Scoreboard Show with the score from Everbank Field tonight. Does it matter? 24-14, Falcons over the Jags is the final in the final game of the preseason. Scoreboard Show wraps up after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Final score is inconsequential, but the Falcons beat the Jags 24-14. I had the wrong N-word early. I had inconclusive, which is incorrect.
I conclude that the Falcons win by 10, but it is inconsequential. Hey, the coaching staff may tell you different. Oh, these are important. That's fine. They could feel that way. They went 1-3. Who cares? Quality of play over final score in the preseason.
Hey, the preseason is over.
It is over!
So the Jags, no wins, no losses, will head to Philadelphia next weekend to face the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on CBS. We'll go on the air at 10 o'clock locally with the Publix Tailgate Show, and then 12 noon start on the network with Countdown to Kickoff. Fast tempo offense in Philly is always the big story there. Foles coming off a huge season. And the Jaguars trying to find some kind of identity all around here.
Yeah, let's see if they can get the running game going. I mean, Jed Fish has consistently said that's what they want to do. They want to run it 58% of the time. Let's see if, you know, Chad Henne can quiet the doubters early in the season. If the line can give them some protection, if they can get the ball in some of these young playmakers' hands. And, again, I think the defense will be there. I think they'll play well. If they have a positive turnover ratio like they've done for most of the preseason, I think they got a puncher's chance.
Remember, the next Jaguars home game is week 3 of this regular season. Park Ride Relax in week 3. JTA Stadium Shuttle Service makes game day more enjoyable by providing hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking lot directions, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. A quick injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Rashad Reynolds, cornerback, a broken hand surgery, we were told, Jeff Lagerman said in the locker room. Doss with an ankle injury, we'll find that out this week. Storm Johnson came off with a bit of a hobble on an ankle, it looked like. Scobie should be back, it sounds like. Allen Robinson, Marks and Beatles should be back on the field next week, too.
Yeah, you know, if that's the case and you get those guys and only Austin Pastor is a projected starter that's going to be missing on opening day, you probably count yourself lucky in the preseason.
Well done, Mike. Preseason is done. It gets real next week.
It will be very consequential when they go to Philadelphia, trust me.
Unlike tonight's score, which is inconsequential, the Falcons over the Jaguars 24-14. Our thanks to Tony Smith, the Fortunato clan. For Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. We'll see you next week, 10 o'clock, before the Jaguars and the Philadelphia Eagles in week 1. This is Jaguars Radio.